date with the prettiest little thing in any old state, a hybrid uptown fancy little dame. Said she loved me and it seemed to me everything going the way it ought to be, so hand in hand we strolled down Lover's Lane. She's oh so far from a cake of ice, now petting party's going nice, so help me and I believe I'd have been there, yeah. Give her a kiss, a little squeeze, she said, "Hoss, excuse me, please, just gotta have another cigarette." She said, "Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, puff, puff till you smoke yourself to death. Tell St. Peter at the pearly gate you just hate to make him wait. Gotta have another cigarette." In this world, there is different kind of love and affection. Old Agamemnon Jones, hanging out at the loading ramp at Arendelle's Purina store, he say, "I get downright tired of the way all these intellectual folks take a simple idea and turn it into something complicated. Take the idea of love. Love. All these college professors talking about love, they have to be too categorical and abstract, talking about different types of love. Matriarchal love, patriarchal love, connubial love, conjugal love, carnal love, uxorious love." In the real world, there's just two kinds of love. There's love, and there's love. This is a love song. Yes, ma'am. When I was a lad and no ship was aboard, over hill and meadow we'd roam, just a boy and his dog, we were both full of fun. We grew up together that way. I remember the time at the old swimming hole when I would have drowned beyond doubt. Shep was right there, to the rescue he came. He jumped in and helped pull me out. The years fast did roll, and at last he grew old. His eyesight was fast growing dim. One day the doctor looked at me and said, "I can't do no more for him, Jim." With a hand that was trembling, I drew down my gun, aimed it at Chef's faithful hand. Ah, but I just couldn't do it, boys, I wanted to run. I wished that they'd shoot me instead. went to his side and I sat on the ground. He laid his old head on my knee and I stroked the best pal that a boy ever knew. I cried so I scarcely could see. Shippy, he knew he was going to go. He reached out and licked at my hand. He looked up at me just as much as to say, we're parting, but I understand. Now old Shep is gone where the good doggies go, and no more with old Shep will I roam. But if dogs have a heaven, Lord, there's one thing I know. Old Shep has a beautiful home. At the Terminal Tavern, look here, get to heaven, I'll tell you what to do. You got to grease your feet and some mutton stew and slide out of the devil's hand and ooze over to the promised land. Take it easy, boy. Take it easy, boy. Take it greasy. Let the rough end ride and the slick end slide. Let the rough end ride and the slick end slide. What we're talking about there is Ocklawaha County laissez-faire, a state of mind. Meaning simply that everybody in Ocklawaha County knows intuitively that it is easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Folks have a different way of looking at things over there. They know, for instance, that right of way is strictly a function of mass times velocity. I mean, we come from a primitive place. So primitive, we got a rabbi named Bubba. Well, this is just an old form of American folk music called the original talking blues. The object of this music is to keep a straight face while you rhyme all sorts of Arcadian inanities over three chords played slow on the guitar, just like this. Here are some verses that I made up about Cape Kennedy, Florida, where they send up the rockets and missiles in the space program. Cape Kennedy's not so far from Ocklawaha County. Used to be the best trout fishing and duck hunting in the Sunshine State over there. Now it's just cyclone fences and CIA men. Soviet trawlers. Well, I'm down at the blockhouse taking maze. Thought I heard Alan Shepard sneeze. There's Edward R. Murrow on a motorbike going to the satellite lounge for Lucky Strike. Something mighty big about to happen out on the beach. The Apollo rocket's taking straight up there. Alan Shepard strapped down in the control chair of the space module on top of that mighty rocket. They're down in the bunker now. They're about to commence the countdown. Chris Kraft steps up to the microphone, clears his throat. He say, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ground zero. barrel. Blast off, that rocket's going through the air. It's going through the stratosphere. They radio up to Alan Shepard and they say, Alan, baby, are you all right, son? Alan Shepard radios back. He says, all systems up here are A-OK. Go, go, go. I sure wish this big bird hadn't been put together by the lowest bidder. Well, now the lipstick sponsor's going insane. Zsa Zsa fell off the gantry crane. Autograph the nose gone. Revlon's best. Modern Cosmetics passed a new heat test. It's mighty important because we're all consumers in America. We live in a consumer economy, which means that the only way any of us can have a credit rating is that we've got to become adept at using borrowed money. That's also the gross side of the national product. We're in a missile race right now. Been in a missile race since 1957 when the Russians sent up the first Sputnik. Now, what do you suppose might have happened if right after World War II, some of our scientists and think tank experts and consultants in Washington, D.C. had gotten together and decided that all of those ICBM rockets had had consumer appeal. They'd have been advertised, merchandised, cost plus, cost minus, market index, market analyzed, distributed, black marketed, sold under the table, till by now every American consumer would have a two-missile garage just keeping up with the Schwartzes. Be putting CB radios in them. Why, if we'd let free enterprise and the profit motive into the missile race in our consumer economy back in 1957, we wouldn't be neck and neck with anybody today, friends. We'd have had a whole Joe Cola and Gideon Bibles on the moon by 1963. We'd have signs up there right now saying Sea Rock City. Stuckey, 17 miles. Little red signs all stopped into the asteroids in a row, and they would rhyme when you went whizzing by in your two-seat sports rocket and say things like this. Dim your lights behind each star and show the folks how bright you are. Burma shade. Yes, yeah. Nobody liked the way I talked, so I went out and I took me a walk. I went to some institution, I got them to teach me elocution. How now, brown cow? Right now, green bull. Well, what they're saying now in Nashville about Jimmy Swaggart and Jerry Lee Lewis, you know, they're first cousins. Everybody's saying, well, who would have ever believed that Jerry Lee Lewis would have turned out to be the white sheep of the family? Life is hard. Can't throw no stones. You know, I'll never forget the time Still Bill came home. He had no sooner shut the engine off in the old pickup truck than he became aware of the most incredible spate of keening and wailing billowing forth from his upstairs bathroom window. And he recognized the harsh and acidulous tones of his good wife, War Bunny. And it seemed as if she had been overwhelmed with dire exigency. He ran up the stairs, and as he ran, he visualized her plight. He had not expected her back so soon. He had taken advantage of her absence to perform some much-needed tasks of home repair, specifically the re-enameling of the water closet seat. He knocked on the door. He said, honey, it's me, Bill. Are you all right? She said, you idiot, I'm stuck. He tried the door and it was locked. He said, let me in and I'll help. She said, I can't get to the door. You fool, I'm stuck. And the door was indeed made fast against untimely intrusion. As War Bunny was well known in these pastoral environs as a righteous woman. Bill went down to the tool shed and gathered the tools necessary for the extrication of his spouse. A putty knife. A can of wheel bearing grease. A socket wrench set. And a crowbar in the event he had to dismantle the entire accommodation. ran the ladder up the side, chinned himself over the sill. His worst fears were confirmed, for here he encountered his worthy spouse, mad as a boiled owl. He said, "Honey, I'll have you out of this in no time at all." He took a dollop of the wheelbarrow and grease, applied it, and broke out the crowbar to no good advantage. He had no recourse but to dismantle the accommodation. He bent to his task with a socket wrench set, and in no time at all he had her loose. Now, good people, you have got to visualize this with me. War Bunny came up just a little bit rubber-legged. She had been seated 19 hours. She was hardly ambulatory. She was in a jackknifed attitude because the seat came up with her. Bill had to carry her down the stairs and across the lawn, then try as he might, he couldn't insert her into the cab of the pickup truck in that attitude. Had to take her around, set her up on her hands and knees in the bed of the truck. Then he went around, climbed in front, fired her up, and just took right off down through the middle of town. Pulled up in front of the doctor's office, carried her up the walk, through the waiting room, in the operating room, set her up on the table. The old doc came out and made about 3 complete circles. Bill said, "Well, doc, ever see anything like that before?" Doctor said, "Why, yes, Bill, but never with a frame around it." I will tell you, the first time I ever told that story, and many times thereafter, I said, "I wonder when I'm going to get the flack." And it's the most amazing and wonderful thing. I've never been called to account because of that song. In fact, I'll bet I've had 24 people come up and say, "You know, that happened to my great Aunt Emily in Fargo, North Dakota." But nonetheless, it is always with a certain amount of trepidation that I undertake to tell that story, because naturally I like to keep things on a high metaphysical plane. After all, this is art. And I like to start out talking about ontology, metaphysics, but sooner or later it just degenerates and we go to talking about sorriness. Well, sorry is as sorry does. Say it with me one time. Sorry. Now that makes me feel right at home. For I come from a place where sorriness is pan-endemic, a reason to be, a way of life. See the noble pilgrim, how he moves from station to station, ever ascendant, his brow knit with purblind avidity, until finally in one supreme spasmodic movement of palpitant glorification, he grasps that brass ring of truth, clutches an Excalibur like to his heaving bosom, and it can truly be said of him, God, he's sorry. Well, I'll tell you what sorriness is. Sorriness is Sheriff Hutto Proudfoot hanging around Arendelle's Purina store saying, "I'll be 51 years old this month. I believe I'll get married in 1988. I'm tired of holding my stomach in." Sorriness is that wondrous point in time when Still Bill felt his way into brother-in-law's restaurant saying, "Who owns that Great Dane out there?" "Well, I do," said a stranger in a Hawaiian shirt. "Yes, yes, yes, I tethered my beast out there. I'm fine. I've been to obedience school. Never hurt man. He's dead." "What do you mean he's dead?" "My dog killed him." "Good God, man, what kind of an animal do you..." "Chihuahua. 3 legs. How could a 3-legged chihuahua kill a Great Dane? I believe he's stuck in his throat." Sorry is. And sorry does. Say it again. Sorry is. Sorry does. There I am trying to make a living in Terminal Tavern. Working my heart out. Playing my folk song. This old boy jumps up. He say, play something by Hank Williams. I said, I love Hank Williams. He said, then play Your Cheating Heart. I said, I love Hank Williams. I'll tell you what, good buddy, you come back here tomorrow, we'll all sing it together. He said, and then he turned to my audience, he said, Hank Williams would turn over in his grave. He knew that boy couldn't pick Your Cheating Heart. And they said, he's right. He's right. Give me my knife. I'll cut his microphone cable up. I'll hit him on top of the head so hard. I'll shoot his dog. Well, the next morning after I'd buried my pup, I went down to the local Kmart and I found 17 remaindered Hank Williams albums. Bought them every one, took them home. I learned 26 Hank Williams songs. And I'm going to pick every one of them right now. I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. I hate to think it all over. All I do is sit and sigh. Oh, Lord, the livelong day she said goodbye. Oh, Lord, I thought I would die. Yes, you do me, yes, you do you. She's got that kind of loving I love to hear her when she called me sweet daddy. What a beautiful dream. I hate to think it all over. I lost my heart, it seems. And I've grown so used to you somehow. And I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm alone, alone, lonesome. I got the lovesick blues. I'm in love with the beautiful girl. Ask what's the matter with me. I'm in love with a beautiful girl and she don't care about me. Well, I've tried to keep her satisfied, but she doesn't care. And now that she's leaving, here is all I can say. I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. I hate to think it all over. All to do is sit and sigh. Oh, Lord, the livelong day she said goodbye. Oh, Lord, I thought I would die. Yes, you do me, yes, you do you. She's got the kind of loving I love to hear her when she called me sweet daddy. What a beautiful dream. I hate to think it all over. I lost my heart, it seems. And I've grown so used to you somehow. And I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm alone, alone, lonesome. I got the lovesick blues. Doris moved amongst the towering enchantments of the ancient city, wearing clothing she made of Irish linen, her hair in a long pigtail. And it seemed as if she so perfectly mirrored the soul of the city we loved that we fell in beside her and shared with her the secrets of our own hearts, the mysteries. She listened ardently, and we went away more graceful for having been heard by this creature who spurned the pipe, who spurned the bottle, who loved the salt air and the sunlight, and who hated only cruelty. She who died at the hands of one of those with whom she walked lies buried today in St. Augustine, where she is remembered by poems and elegies and eulogies, by paintings and statuary and song. For the ancient city is a place of artists and writers, as well as fools and fishermen. Doris wound the bishop's clock. She served him macaroons and tea. She bought him oysters at the dock. At night, she came to me, graceful as a pharaoh's daughter, bringing life in sour ground. She brought me green to the Spanish water, showed me bridges out of town. And we often spoke of towers and of patriarchs and powers and of how the angels hurt. Where the haints and vandals turned, we'd listen to the candles burn. And we'd measure Irish linen for a shirt. And I wonder still if love can win. I work the earth and peel my brain, while Doris mounts the wave within my ocean dream. Her pain like bubbles on a dolphin's breath, as lanterns hiss and pirates kneel to murder one who danced with death before the years of wine and steel. And we often spoke of towers and of patriarchs and powers and of how the angels hurt. And where the haints and vandals turn, we'd listen to the candles burn. And we'd measure Irish linen for a shirt. Now the snow lies over hollow ground, and jewels glitter in the choir. Walls and mirrors crashing down. Tonight the poet drowns for hire, and the soul believer drives a hack, and he whips his ponies to a spring, and tongueless lovers bare their backs, and mad dogs guard artillery lane. Well, it's time for a little community sing-around, so without any further fanfare, would you please welcome the new Sand Mountain Wildcats back to the stage, and we're going to really mix it up a little bit. We'll have to get some mics out here, so bear with us.